The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Indeed, we must take America back. Welcome to the National Intel Report. As you might be able to discern, I'm not John Stadtmiller. I am Patrick Slattery. It's my honor to substitute for him for this hour, and we must take America back. I was just out walking. I was just out trick-or-treating. I did take one piece of candy. I was walking along. You know, we must take America back. I'll tell you, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, you go out walking, you go out trick-or-treating, and, well, what do you see? Saw a lot of ghosts and goblins and some Lego toys and princesses, and a lot of smiling brown faces and smiling Chinese faces. I hardly saw any smiling white faces. I hardly saw any white faces at all. And this is what's happening. Our population is being replaced. We're being replaced in our own country. We're being replaced in all the European countries. And we are putting an end to it. It takes a little bit of time, but we're making a lot of good progress. Well, I will be taking calls. The call-in number here at RBN is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. So call me up. Weigh in on the issues. We got a lot going on today. There's, of course, we have, there was another, I don't mean to make light of it, but another Aloha snack bar today in New York City. A terrorist incident. Apparently, 6 people are dead, many more injured. I don't know the details. I did catch Mayor, what's his name, DeFazio? De Blasio, Mayor De Blasio, and Governor Cuomo. I heard their remarks. They're treating it as a terrorist incident. Okay. And the terrorist apparently yelled Allahu Akbar, which God is great in Arabic. And that's something that we hear. It accompanies a lot of these. And from what I've been able to learn, the perpetrator who was taken alive, he's 29 years old. That's about all I know. I would appreciate it if somebody could call up with more updated information. That's all that they knew on CNBC and CNN as of about an hour ago before I voyaged out into the goblins and demons and witches and princesses. But what we do know is in America and in Europe over these past several years, there's been this trend. There have been these Aloha snack bars increasingly frequently. And, you know, one thing that's, it's been very clear trend in Europe, not maybe it's been pretty clear here as well, but certainly in Europe, what's been clear is the perpetrators, for the most part, in Europe, have not been Muslim immigrants. They have not been Muslim refugees. They have been first generation, or I guess you call them second generation Muslims, Muslims who were born in Europe. They're born in Europe. Maybe their parents were immigrants. Maybe even their grandparents were immigrants. And these seem to be the most radicalized. Now, what does that say? What does that say about multiculturalism? Does this mean that the people who come here, that they come here because they want to be Americans? Maybe. Maybe the parents do. Who knows? But the way they raise their children, the way the children are indoctrinated by our public school system, by our media, they're indoctrinated to hate the host populations, to hate the white Americans, to hate the indigenous Europeans. And we so you're not getting integration, you're not getting assimilation, you get alienation. It's very problematic. So, you know, Angela Merkel, she invites all these people to Germany, 90% of them, even 2 years on after this tsunami-gration invasion, this immigrant invasion. 2 years into this immigrant invasion, more than 90% of the people are still on the dole. Less than 10% have any kind of work. And why would you expect them to have work? They don't speak German. So many of them are illiterate even in their native language. What job skills do they have? What do they have to offer the people, the economies of Germany and Sweden and Austria and Norway and France and Holland and England and Ireland? Nothing. Now, the Czechs, the Slovaks, the Poles, the Hungarians, they're realizing this, and they're starting to stand up and say no. They are not prepared to lose their country, their countries. But in England, France, Germany, Sweden, America, Australia, Canada, we're losing our countries. And we are taking it back, though. There are a lot of good signs. No matter what you think about the way Donald Trump has ruled over the past, what is it now, 9 months that he has been president, maybe it's a mixed bag at best, but the fact that we were able to elect somebody that we were told was a racist bigot who gives support to neo-Nazi white supremacists, and if you vote for him, you're a bad person, and people voted for him anyway, that's a step in the right direction. The fact that people are turning off the NFL, that an NFL that just at the beginning of 2016 for their halftime show had a Black Lives Matter themed halftime show, a Black Panthers themed halftime show, Beyonce performing a salute to Malcolm X. That started to turn people off. And then the Colin Kaepernick kneeling and all of this that's been going on since then. And now you're hearing reports that the ratings, the TV ratings are slumping so bad that ESPN is even considering rethinking its broadcast of Monday Night Football. Wow. It shows that people can wake up. And so that's what's happening. People are starting to wake up. And, you know, you're seeing this here. You're seeing this in Europe. Is it too late? I don't know. It depends. It all depends. So yesterday on my show, National Bugle Radio, which is at noon Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time here on RBN, I had Mark Collette from Great Britain. And I was asking Mark Collette what, you know, he's been on the my show and on my podcast for the past year or two, and he's explained a lot of things. He's explained the massive welfare dependency of the, in particular, the Muslim immigrants, African immigrants as well, not as much the Chinese or Indian immigrants, but certainly the Muslim immigrants, who are the most problematic, who are the ones who are, you know, having the Aloha snack bars, who are the ones with the by far the highest birth rates, who are literally taking over towns. I mean, London now has a Muslim mayor. London maternity wards, only something like 22% of the mothers are English. So he's been telling me things. He's been telling me about the scandals of Muslim, you could call them crime rings, who they lure young teenage white girls with candy and gifts and alcohol and drugs and get them into these what they call grooming rings, where they're basically turned into sex slaves. In one medium-sized town, over 1,000 young girls, in a town of maybe 150,000, over 1,000 young girls were subjected to this. And it goes on not just in that one town. It goes on all over the place. And why don't the police stop it? Because they're afraid of being called racist. The Muslim women, because in Islam, you can have up to four wives. In England and France too, and I'm sure many other places, so many of the women are second or third wives. That's not recognized by the state. So the children they have are considered children to unwed mothers. Well, that's fine for the Muslims, because as children of unwed mothers, they get special welfare benefits. And so you've got the British taxpayer who's financing polygamy in Britain. They're financing Muslim polygamy and high Muslim birth rates. The high Muslim birth rates mean they have big families. Big families in Britain get priority in public housing. And so you've got the British taxpayer is expected to foot the bill for their replacement, their own replacement as a people. So I asked Mark Collette, I said, well, you know, you still have a majority in the country. There's still a British majority in the country, an English white European majority in the country. If you take back the country, what do you do with it? What do you do with all these people? And he had a very interesting response. And that response was, well, first of all, we're going to cut the welfare benefits. These people come here for welfare. They don't come to Britain for the weather. Nobody goes to Britain for the weather. So they're coming for the welfare benefits. And like I said, the system has been warped in so many ways to not just give the Muslims equal access to the welfare, but to give them preferential access to the welfare because of the polygamy, because of the large families. Because in Britain, unlike America, in America you quit your job, you don't get unemployment. You have to be fired to get unemployment. But in Britain, you quit your job, and if you wait for, 6 months, or you wait for a year, I think it's a year, and you don't get a job within a year, then you go on the dole. But if you can show that you had to leave your job for religious reasons, you go on the dole immediately. So what do Muslims do? Well, they can claim this religious exemption because they're uncomfortable working next to a woman. You know, if they're in a workplace with a woman, that's against their religion, and so then they can claim this religious exemption, go straight on the dole. So many aspects of the British welfare system favor the Muslims. And so step one is you stop, you just turn it around. You stop the welfare benefits going to them. Number two, you ban halal butchery. you de-Shariaify the law code. I mean, they've got special neighborhoods. They've got neighborhoods where you've got these special patrolmen going around enforcing Sharia law. You just say, look, we've got one law for everybody, and that's English common law. And you stop doing that. You stop making it such a Muslim-friendly country, and then finally you can offer people a free ticket, and he said £15,000 per head, and have them go to wherever they want to go. Very interesting. Not talking about jackboots knocking down doors, cattle cars, nothing like that. But they're not there. They're not in England for the weather. And if you look at a map, England's not such an expansive territory compared to the Muslim countries, the Muslim world, which stretches all the way from Morocco on the Atlantic, all the way through the Middle East, through the Indian subcontinent, down Indonesia, all the way to the Pacific, this massive swath of land. You look at England, you look at Germany, you look at Sweden, it's not a lot of land. And it's cold. And it's dark in the winter. Why are they there? They're not there for the weather. They're there for the handouts. They're there for the welfare benefits. And that can be stopped. It was very interesting. Can that be applied to the United States? Well, not necessarily exactly like that, but we are, our taxpayers, our native-born taxpayers, are financing our own replacement. You look at public schools. Public schools in America are less than 50% white. They have been for several years now. I'm not sure what the percentage is, but it's less than 50%. What do you think the funding of the public schools are? I mean, most public schools are funded primarily by real estate taxes. There's a little bit of federal money, less than 9%, and I think there's going to be some money from state budgets, but it's primarily through these real estate taxes. And who do you think's paying the real estate taxes? You know, because where is the real estate valuable? It's not valuable in Harlem. It's not valuable in East L.A. or Watts, because nobody wants to live in those places. Real estate prices are really low. They're not paying into the public school system in any significant way. It's coming from the primarily white taxpayer, and it's going to primarily non-white children. We're paying for our own replacement, our own ethnic cleansing. So it's bad enough to be ethnically cleansed, but we're paying for it. It's happening. You look at the maternity wards, and the maternity wards in America are predominantly non-white. Interestingly enough, something like 70% of kids, well, 70% of kids, I think, are born out of wedlock now, or at least in black population, 70%. In the Hispanic population, it's more than 50%. Is it now? I think by now it's actually a majority who are born out of wedlock, and that's boosted by the high birth rates of blacks and especially Hispanics. Blacks have a higher out of wedlock, a higher illegitimacy rate. Hispanics have a higher birth rate, and that's what's driving it. So you've got out of wedlock births. And I think something like, I could be wrong, but I think it's about 70% of births in America are paid for by Medicaid. Medicaid is welfare insurance. It comes from the general budget, from half states, half federal government. So we are paying for our own replacement. So it's quite astounding. So what do we do? We have people who are coming here for benefits. You've got people coming across the border for benefits. Well, we will be back after the break. Call in number 1-800-313-9444.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. I'm sorry, I was checking the news during the break. Kind of messed up my internet a little bit. It's CNN. They always mess up the internet, CNN. Okay, we will go to our callers. We have Bill from Minnesota. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. It's actually Abdul.
Hi, Abdul.
How are we doing today?
All right. You're from Minnesota?
Good. Yes, sir.
What's on your mind?
I'm hearing you speak, and I agree with a lot of things you're saying, but I believe there's some aspects that are missing that would help, I believe, articulate what your message is a little better.
And okay,
one of those things is you're talking about the mass migration and immigrants and stuff like that. Flooding European countries and even America, taking advantage of the welfare system there and stuff, which is correct. But I think what aspect you need to include in there is where are these people coming from and why, okay? Now, you can agree with me that war is something that is a terrible thing and it destroys nations and peoples and culture. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would.
Okay, so if we are at war, we've been constantly at war in places in the Middle East and Africa, and the people who are causing these wars aren't the migrants, they're not the Muslims, they're not the black people, they're the people in power doing this nonsense. And to that note, there's also people that are creating these policies that inhibit the migration. For instance, Minneapolis, Minnesota, is called Little Mogadishu.
Right.
Because of the influx of Somalis that have been coming here for the last 20, 30 years.
Okay.
Now,
yeah,
the Somalis didn't institute those policies to bring in immigrants into America.
You are absolutely right. Right.
So I think that if we focus on the real issues and the real people behind the scenes that are causing the destruction of our world as we know it, that's what we need to stick with. Forget talking about Muslims and Allahu Akbar and all that nonsense.
No, I don't think we forget talking about it. But what I was talking about in the first, the first segment, I was talking about symptoms. You're going to causes, which is very good, and I certainly agree with you. There, war has a lot to do with this, and while war goes on, has gone on all over the world, all throughout history, and so you can't only blame external sources for it, but certainly you're correct in that our ruling powers, and, if you're familiar with my other work, I particularly focus on, what I consider to be a Zionist or Jewish ruling elite, a hostile ruling elite. They are creating wars. They're not responsible for necessarily all the wars, but they're certainly responsible for the bulk of the wars we've been involved in the past decades. And they do so, the seeds of chaos. And you look at Syria, and there has been, it might not be the number one reason why this war was brought to Syria, and I do think it was brought externally, not really a civil war, more of an invasion. And I think part of it was to create the type of situation where you would have mass exodus from the country. That if that wasn't the intended result, it was a welcome side effect by the same people who instituted the wars to have the mass migration. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a lot of common ground here in our thinking.
No, and I agree with you. And like I said, I agree with what you're saying. Like, I actually believe that we need to actually point out the Muslim leaders, the imams in this country alone, to come up and step up to the plate and say that this is not what our religion is about. Now, there's this confusion about jihadis and what jihad is. Jihad is not the physical act of violence. Jihad is a spiritual war, not a war of aggression and killing people. Those who accept the idea and notion that murdering innocent people is jihad, they are not Muslim. And I call upon the Muslim leaders to denounce this nonsense.
Hey, we're going to break right now, but if you have a little more you want to say, because you could hold on till after the break.
Sure.
Okay, hold on till after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out? School, that's what they said. The Constitution
and
was.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. This is the National Intel Report, which usually would star John Stadtmiller. I'm filling in. I'm Patrick Slattery. I'm speaking with Abdul from Minnesota, and we had been having a talk. I had in the first segment of the show, I was talking about the problems caused by immigration, in particular from Muslim countries. Abdul called, and he pointed out that so many of the wars in the Muslim world are really instigated from the outside and from what I would call the Zionist echelons of the United States. And then I'm making the point that, if it wasn't the initial intention, these wars are used as a subterfuge for encouraging increased immigration. You know, you look at all of these immigrants going to Europe, and, there are Syrians among them, but there's lots from Somalia or Nigeria or Bangladesh or all over. And are they fleeing the bloody Syrian civil war? The music, the break cut you off, Abdul. You were in the middle of a thought, and would you like to continue?
Well, I would just like to say that, the discussion that we're having is the right path. And I believe that, and it's obvious that most of these world leaders are all about themselves and their own legacy. They really don't care about the common folk, which is self-evident. I mean, you can clearly look at any politician, especially in America, has been up there for 50 years or 40 years. Were they about their community and the people that they supposedly serve? Of course not. They wouldn't be in that position for 40 years. Our nation our laws and the people who ran for Congress or Senate was never designed for them to be lifelong so-called servants of the community. No, you're supposed to go in there, do your work 4 or 6 years, be out, go back to the public life. Not this. This is my religion. This is my, you know, my country. I make the rules and you should follow them type of thing, i.e. John McCain's fascist communist self. But the point I'm trying to have everybody know is that we have to keep our eye on the prize. And during the second American Revolution, to take our country back, the fight to take our country back, we need to be focused on who are the ones that are making the decisions that we all disagree with. Get them out of office.
Who are they? Abdul.
Who are they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not challenging you, but I'm just offering you the opportunity to... who do you think are the people who are making the decisions? Do you have a good way of describing them in your opinion?
I don't, because the face of evil is many.
Yeah.
Okay. Evil uses its subjects the way God uses subjects, but on a much more destructive and violent scale. Okay. If the people in office in this country aren't about American values and putting America first and understanding what we need as a populace, as a nation, then they all need to get out of office. And it's incumbent upon us, American citizens, to take these fools out of office. Mm-hmm. Let's not get distracted with, oh, the terrorist bombing or the terrorists in New York that just happened. All that is a smokescreen for what our agenda as Americans or what we're pushing for. Now, I supported President Trump, okay? As a black Muslim American, I supported President Trump. I voted for him. The first time I voted in my life, okay? And the reason why I voted for this man was because simply he connected with me by saying it's time for us to stand up and do what our God-given American right is to be great and to have liberty. Okay, now, he's not a perfect man. Forget about him. I've always said it's not about President Trump. It's about us as American citizens and the people to do our due diligence and honor code and get these fools out of office. We don't need McCain. We don't need a Mitch McConnell. We don't need any of these monkeys out here, okay?
Right.
All we need to do is stand together and remove these fools and create the America that is always meant to be.
Well, I really appreciate your call. We have a couple other callers I want to get to, but you know, I could recognize that you were a black Muslim, and I don't know if you're familiar with my work. I'm a close associate with David Duke, and I am I speak in terms of white nationalism in the United States. I'm actually a relative newcomer to that perspective. And I don't come to it because I dislike people of other races. It's certainly not a position I've had for a long time. The reason I come to it is because I see our country walking like a zombie. It's people are on drugs, not just white people, not just black people. We're on drugs. We're on drugs. Mm-hmm. We're distracted. Our country's being not just taken from us, not just given to other people, but it's being everything that we've built up in this country is being, in my opinion, being hijacked by this hostile elite, which, in my opinion, is dominated by a Jewish elite, and it's being used to ends that aren't in the best interest of anyone. And you know, I've said this on David Duke's show, and David Duke agrees with me. That if you were black, if you were Chinese, if you were Indian, you should want the white majority in the United States to stop this, to wake up. And you know, when I say take the country back, I don't mean like take it away from black people. Black people have been here since the beginning of the country as well, black Americans. But why should the majority population in this country be replaced, be phased out, be told that we're deplorable and all of that. Does that sound reasonable?
Let me say something that's going to sound really astonishing and crazy. Okay, I agree with David Duke.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to his speeches and how he speaks about his position. I agree with it 100,000%. And let me tell you why real quick. It's because he's speaking the truth about his situation and his heritage. He's correct on it, and you're correct on it. We don't want to see the destruction of the white heritage in America. No. We need to embrace that heritage. We need to embrace each other's heritage and cultures where we came from. Not this divide and conquer nonsense. You know what I mean? And I can rest easy knowing I have an understanding of my disposition to my history. Okay? My blood is Irish American. All right? You look at me, yeah, I'm black, I got dreadlocks, whatever the case. You wouldn't even think I have associated or I have white blood in me. And I do. And guess what? I'm proud of my Irish American heritage.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Hey, one last question. I have one last question for you, and you can make your final point. So you said you're Muslim. Are you part of the Nation of Islam, Minister Farrakhan's movement?
As a family, my family had a connection to Farrakhan, but mostly Elijah Muhammad's son, Warfdeen Muhammad. That's who my father followed. That's who we're following. Not necessarily the Nation of Islam, but we were, as a culture, tied into that whole movement.
I was just curious. I'm not an expert on it, but I was just curious. Okay, sure. So I got to go to the next caller, but did you have one final word of wisdom for us?
The last thing is together. That's all we have to be.
Thank you
to keep this great evil is together. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Abdul. Okay, we will move on to Ramsey from Canada. Ramsey, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's on your mind, Ramsey?
See, so I'm really glad I had the chance to talk to you. I've been hearing you for years and years on Dr. David Duke's show. And I just want to tell you something. See, first of all, I want to say that I've been to London, England.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Manchester and I saw the culture, the a lot of people from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and people from that region, it's not what it's supposed to be like, because if you look at the history, London was the majority of it was white, English, like 30, 40 years ago, whatever. But see, sir, here's what I want to say. You keep on saying Muslims. See, sir, I think it's better that if you narrow it down, say, like, it's the Muslims from Pakistan, Muslims from India. Because, see, sir, I've seen Muslims from Bosnia, Herzegovina, which mm-hmm. used to be part of Yugoslavia. And they are... And they're white, they're Caucasian, and they're pretty much assimilated there. You cannot put a Bosnian guy in the same boat as a Pakistani. They're completely different cultures, different mm-hmm. language, different tradition. Like you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. In fact, I wouldn't even put a lot of Pakistanis in the boat with the other Pakistanis. I mean, there are people who if they were here in small numbers, they would be able to assimilate and do very well. And in the United States, we don't really yet have huge numbers of Muslims the way so many, like England. You said you were in England, and so you don't have a lot of the problems that they have in England at this point, and it's just, but it's a matter of numbers.
Yes. And see, sir, the thing is, in my opinion, these people from Pakistan, India, or whatever, like, the main problem that they, how I see it, like, when I look at them in England or look at them, for example, here in Canada, like there are people who live here from Pakistan, India, whatever. How I see it is that, you see, it's religion, but see, for the most part, I would say it's culture. Because see, sir, if these people convert to Christianity or convert to Buddhism or whatever, there'd still be the same problem. The problem is the culture, the way they look, the way they dress, the way they act. you see, sir, just like the United States, you have a problem with the Mexicans because of the culture. Like they're still they're still Catholic and Protestant.
Yeah, they're primarily correct. Catholic. Yeah. Well, you know, and one of the issues with the culture is if they're in small numbers, they can't form their own kind of community. They're going to have to learn to speak English because that's what's spoken at the schools, that's what's spoken at the workplace, that's what's spoken at the stores. But when they're in large numbers and can basically take over entire neighborhoods or entire towns, they don't need to. They don't need to learn the culture. They don't need to learn the language, and that's when it becomes very problematic. And we've gotten to the point where, you know, our foreign-born population, as in America, in Canada, is at record levels, and I think you would agree that we've got to shut down the immigration, so those who can assimilate assimilate, and those who can't assimilate, well, then, you know, we have to think of other ways of dealing with that. Do you agree?
Yes, I totally agree, but the thing is, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, I'm just saying that we should focus more on the culture, and also, sir, you should focus more also on the the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Sikhs, and so on, because these people, sir, like, they're not Muslim, but still, they don't reflect the culture and heritage of England or France or Sweden or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So multiculturalism is the problem, and also, sir, yeah, like the demographics are also a big problem. Like just like you said, like London now has a Pakistani mayor, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Now, in England, the Indian population are in many ways not as problematic as, say, the Pakistani/Bangladeshi Muslim populations, because their birth rates are similar to the native Britons, and their education, their job participation, labor participation rates are similar, and crime rates are similar, so they're not as problematic. I think part of the problem with Muslims in many of the European countries is they have formed huge communities which can isolate themselves from the rest of Britain or rest of France, and being isolated then can feel this alienation. So I have the feeling that's what's going on.
You see, so I agree with, I'm saying that the Pakistanis and Indians are exactly the same problem when it comes to the culture. Like, they don't reflect the culture, but see, so when it comes to the demographics, yeah, I agree with you. Muslims have a higher birth rate than Sikhs or the Buddhists or whatever.
I'm just talking about the
culture.
The cultures are certainly different. They're different. I mean, different from so you're in Canada, and I know Canada's got very large Indian populations and Sikh populations, and so what you see is you don't see them assimilating or being able to adapt or adopt the native Canadian culture. Is that what you're saying?
Because see, sir, the thing is, with the the Sikhs, they wear the turban, and the turban is a big thing in their culture or religion. That's not. It has nothing to do with Canada's history or history of the United States or England, or the culture or the tradition. Like, I respect the religion, or whatever. It's really frustrating when you see these people in the parliament or in the army or in the border security patrol or whatever. Like those places have to be completely have to completely reflect the Canadian image and character of the country.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. We've got another caller I want to make sure we get to this hour, but I enjoyed your call. Thank you very much. Let's move on to Keith from Montana. Keith, welcome to the show. Oh, okay. So we. Okay, Keith, I think we dropped your call. You're welcome to call back. Has Ramsey hung up? So, Keith, are you with us now? Okay. Well, hi, Keith. Welcome to the show.
I don't know if your break's coming up right away or not. Anyway,
we'll keep you on after the break. But
all right,
just start off.
There's
now.
A couple of things I wanted to. All right, Patrick. There's a couple of things I want to clarify. You know, as Americans, we usually see the blacks or Africans and stuff on these TV commercials about sending food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The United States, the UN's Human Rights Commission in 2016 listed over 60 million immigrants coming from three countries. They omitted the fact that it was the same three countries the United States was bombing.
Mm-hmm.
This today, what we see today, are not immigrants. They are war refugees, just as much as what the Allied terror bombings of World War II, where millions of people line the roads looking for something because their homes, cities, everything were completely burned out.
And do you think the wars in part are intended to produce refugees? That's part of the...
Well, of course they are. And I'll give you a good illustration. You can watch the video on YouTube where it says Zionist Jews... that their number one agenda is immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's what I say.
The mass immigration, you now have the rabbis saying, Europe is too dangerous for the Jews. Move to Israel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, please hang on, and we'll be back after the break with more from Keith from Montana.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And welcome back to the show, my last segment on the National Intel Report. We have Keith from Montana, and you were making a lot of interesting points. Would you like to continue?
Okay, and as we grew up like that, we gravitated. Like when you went down to California, you went down to Little Chinatown. We go to restaurants that we like, whether they're Mexican or you know, whatever like that, you know. it's no different than what Vladimir Putin said, that if you gravitate towards Russia, that you adapt Russia's culture. Unfortunately, the way we Americans have been trained through all this hatred of Japs, Bosch, Nips, and other slang, camel blank blanks, you know, that we don't assimilate with other people. This isn't the Borg type of a hive mentality, you know. So just as much as when we used to go to school and there used to be a couple blacks walking toward us, usually the whites would move to the other side of the road. But see, this is how they build this hatred. And, of course, if you didn't like the enemy that the United States didn't like, you were called yellow or something. But, you know, it's like most people don't have problems. I live on an Indian reservation. I have no problem whatsoever here in Montana. And most of the callers in on my show on Sunday have no problems with this. But they do see through the hype that's being put out here that it's okay to demonize someone, like, some guy over in New York screaming, Allah Akbar. Well, that's supposed to be something that's drastic to hear as an American. But think of all those Arabs and Muslims over there in the Middle East that don't hear that. All they hear is a whistle of a hellfire missile coming down and bombing a school, a wedding, a funeral. And these are all based on wars that are illegal. If you don't like support, well, wait a second, Patrick. If you don't like supporting these guys with these social net programs, well, perhaps we should stop paying taxes, because it's your tax dollars that are funding these wars that is causing this immigration and or war refugees problem. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, well, these wars are absolutely a huge problem. The taxes, I mean, so much of the tax that we pay goes to war. There's no doubt about that. I don't tell people not to pay taxes just because I don't want them to get arrested for tax evasion. But
but they can't jail 320 million Americans.
If everybody did it all at once, that's for sure. No, but you're absolutely right to concentrate on the wars. There's this massive link, and you know, one of the things that really has shocked me and amazed me over the past several decades is, you know, I work with David Duke, I work with Don Black, and you know, the white nationalists have become one of the cores of the anti-war. I mean, they're much more anti-war now than the old hippies. So you got these old hippies who are crying about, you know, Russia has attacked us because they released Hillary Clinton's emails or something like that. It's an attack. They're at war with us. You know, you've got Hollywood people talking about war with Russia over Hillary Clinton's emails, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, let me interrupt you again there, Patrick. I'm
running
out of time here, but the issue that you see, most of the people that are talking about Russia, they're Jewish of origin.
That's right.
You can look up there, you know. The other issue with that is that, like Hitler, during World War II, when he started burning all the pornographic books and stuff, he built Germany up. They had the pride nationalism, and that's what they do not want in this country here, is that pride and nationalism. And so on Twitter, when you see this, them talking openly about white genocide, those tweets and stuff, they're not being censored.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our time, and you're an RBN host. What, your show is on Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m.
Sunday at 7. I'm weekdays at noon, Central Time, and it's been great talking to you, Keith.
All right, have a good one, okay?
Okay, and that's the end of my wow, that went fast, but that, but stick around. There's more great programming coming up for you on RBN.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. ANGIOPRIM. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.